You are listening to the Drew and Jay podcast, brought to you by 21 Media Productions. He is Drew Lasker. I am Jay Marriott. This is episode 19. We head north of the border with GB International and Caledonia Gladiators star Kirsty Brown. We will discuss all things league play, Euro Cup, and the growth of the women's game overall. What's up, Mr. Lasker? Let's have a little catch up before we get into this pod.
Well, you know, my intentions were to stay up for All-Star Game last night, which is a tradition of mine. And like at the last minute, I was like, you know what? I'll just catch up on it. And it looked like I made the right decision because from everything that I seen, the scoreline, everything, it seemed like it was pretty underwhelming. And it doesn't make me nervous for our All-Star Game, but you know, what's your take on that? Because obviously, you've been a player, you've been a fan. Which approach would you take? Because obviously, guys are worried about getting hurt. But as a fan, we want to see them compete like the 90s. What's your overall thought on it all?
Yeah, it's really difficult, isn't it? Because if you look at the NBA have just got a lot of questions right now, haven't they, as to how they can make this as competitive as it used to be. You know, and that's what I'm hoping we get from like the early signs of the All-Star game is everybody's just so excited to play their part and be involved in this All-Star game that it's going to be competitive. That's going to be the big thing, like, because there's no doubts, you know, from a media and marketing perspective and from a fan's perspective is the excitement of who gets picked, the conversations of who gets left out, and you just always hope the event and the hype is gonna live up to it. But you're right, you know, there's gonna be a number of people, I'm sure, even in our All-Star game, that is gonna be thinking about that run in now. You know, we're not far away from these playoffs, and those people that are gonna play significant parts in those playoffs, that might be in the back of their mind. But you know, I'm hoping it's gonna go back to those 90s. You know, you're right, you know, bringing up those kind of All-Star games where the juices were flowing and it was all about who wanted to be top dog rather than, you know, everybody kind of patting everybody on the ass and allowing them to do, you know, some crazy stuff that isn't really basketball.
I actually think it's going to be the other side of it, because I think the NBA issue is that it's too much money that these players make and they're protecting that. And obviously British Basketball League players aren't making close to that. And competition used to be, when you're surrounded by greatness, was that totem pole. The All-Star game was used as a totem pole to see where you stood as a player individually and like wanting to be that top dog. So I see that mindset being the overall mindset of the guys in our league, because everyone in our league still has something to prove, right? They're trying to move up to the next level, play for the next big club. So you don't have time to be going through the motion. And my message to anybody that's participating in an All-Star game and you worried about getting hurt or going half-assed, don't play. Just don't play. Just kindly just say thanks, but nope, thanks. But don't come out there and play not to get hurt. Play out there to prove that you the best of the best, point blank.
Well, I think when you look at it at the moment, there can be some conjecture of whether we've moved up in the European ranks or we've moved down in the European ranks. I mean, there's no doubts we're flying the flag in all the competitions we can play in Europe. So I think our respect levels are going up, you know, but there's no doubts that one of the things we are one of the best in Europe is doing is our focus around our media and our marketing, you know. So that's going to be one thing, is I think there's going to be a lot of pride because there's going to be a lot of visuals on it. And then don't forget now, you know, most of your family and your friends and, you know, your old coaches and teammates, et cetera, can watch the games now because they're in the States as well. You know, I would love to see, you know, how that moves the needle. So I'm hoping that is the deciding factor that's going to make everybody show out, because it does still mean something, even in the NBA. Like, okay, people may not have valued last night, but they still value in conversations on podcasts when you're called an all-star. You want to be an all-star caliber player. And that's going to be on people's names after this all-star game for us in British basketball. We will be referring to people on the podcast as all-star caliber players. So that's going to be exciting.
And we will be calling you out if you're not out there competing. And so, you know, you make a decision. You decide.
That's it. Well, you just make sure that you get it done. But anyway, let's get our guests in the room. I'm intrigued. It's been a big couple of weeks in the women's game globally, but also want to get those conversations going around the WBBL. We try to give as much shine as we can to the women's game as much as the men's game. So let's get her in the room. It's Kirsty Brown. Welcome, Kirsty Brown. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thank you. And we appreciate your time. Before we get into the main body of this interview, we warm you up with a quick fire round. So I will give you a question. You have to answer it with one word. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. You are now playing the Marriott Minute. Cal Poly University.
Green.
California.
Sunny.
Leicester Riders.
Red.
Coach Kramesh.
Awesome.
Caledonia Gladiators.
Blue.
Coach Ortega.
Loud.
Funniest teammate.
Ooh, Shan.
Teammate most likely to be late.
Ooh, Cayenne.
I love how you just jumped on that. So many people just pause. unsung hero on the team.
Lakin.
Scotland.
Ooh, bagpipes.
Favorite game day sneaker.
Ooh, Luka ones.
Favorite WNBA player.
A'ja Wilson.
Favorite WNBA team.
Las Vegas Aces.
And finally, Kirsty Brown.
Tall.
That's this week's Marriott Minute. Great job. Actually, you smashed that, to be fair.
Thank you.
A lot of people are struggling with that. So we like to think that helps you.
Cayenne is going to be upset with me because actually Erin is always late, but she just dumped a mine for me.
Well, you were put on the spot. What else can you do? You know, you could just say the pressure got to you. But fun fact for you, I took a visit and was offered at Cal Poly, but I chose San Francisco instead. But for the listeners, give us a brief description of your time there.
I love my time at Cal Poly.
Great campus.
Spent five
cool.
years there. Yes, it is. It's a lovely campus. It's very hilly, so you will get a lot of steps in. But it's 15 minutes from the beach. There's hikes on campus. The downtown is literally 10 minutes away. There's so much on campus, off campus. And the basketball for me was great. COVID wasn't great, but it gave me an extra year. I didn't have to redshirt. I played 5 years and had a great time, made some great friends, basically family and amazing people. So I loved it.
Yeah, the beach almost swung it for me, but not quite. So, yeah. Maybe if I can get to go back in time one day, I could do something different. But last season was your debut pro season with the Leicester Riders and with one of my best friends. So Coach Kramesh Patel what was he like as a coach?
He was awesome. It was different for me. I came from at Cal Poly. I had all female coaches, all five of my years there. So then coming in, I'd only had male coaches before that, but then coming into Kramesh, he was awesome. He was taking a chance on me. I was fresh off knee surgery. But he was just so supportive of me and was really all about my development and, you know, making sure I was comfortable not only in basketball, but outside of basketball. So I was super, super lucky to have him as a coach last year, for sure.
And how did you find the season? You know, because I would say, a lot of people talk about in both the men's and the women's game, you know, oh, take London out. It was a fantastic season. Like, how was that season overall? Looked like you as a group were really, really close. Myself and Drew got to do a lot of finals. So be around you guys. Just talk to us about that season.
Absolutely. I think, like you said, the team was so, so close. We did pretty much everything together all the time. And I feel like that's very rare. It wasn't something I was necessarily expecting come into it, having like a core eight that were so close. So that really helped us on the court as well. Obviously, our chemistry, I just felt like was off the charts most games. I won't say all because, you know, we had a hiccup here and there, but most games it was pretty good. But yeah, I mean, overall, I think we had a great season, and obviously we would have liked to get a final win, you know, one of the three, but unfortunately wasn't in the cards for us. But overall, I mean, I still think we, especially for being such a new group of girls, there wasn't, you know, a core group that was already together. We were all pretty much brand new. So to have a season like that with a bunch of new girls is all you can really ask for.
Yeah, for sure. Just to be a little bit of a deviant, you know, because I'm his friend as well. You know, Coach Kramesh takes his talents down as the assistant coach down at London Lions. What was the feeling there? Were you disappointed, or were you proud that he's kind of taken the next step in his evolution as a coach?
Yeah, I mean, I would say a bit of both for sure. Proud.
You traitor! You traitor, Kramesh.
Yeah, exactly. But also then I went to a different team in the same league. So I'm like, oh, I don't really have that much room to talk. But yeah, no, I mean, obviously super proud of him, and, you know, he's learning so much and he's doing so well there too. So, you know, maybe, you know, a reunification is in our future someday. But I'm really glad that he's doing so well and getting that opportunity. And I'm sure he'll only continue to do great things afterwards as well.
Yeah, I love that. So, you know, for you personally, what made you choose Caledonia as a destination for your second season? You know, I know I know there's some heritage there, mm-hmm. Euro Cup, those kind of things. Was that everything that played into your decision, or was there a little bit more to it?
Yeah, those were definitely the main things for me. Obviously, getting to play in Europe is huge. So that was a big draw. And then, yeah, most of my family pretty much is in Scotland. You know, my mom grew up in Glasgow, and my dad and me and all my siblings are from Edinburgh. So family is very close.
Got an accent for me or no? Like you got no impressions in your bag? Or
unfortunately not. But if you heard my parents talk, they still have theirs. So
really intriguing. Yeah, that's fun.
They've kept it, but unfortunately I lost mine pretty much 2 months after moving to California, so it was gone. But yeah, it's been awesome to be able to see family and have family at games. We actually have one of my dad's cousins and his wife and kids live in East Kilbride, which is awesome. So they got season tickets. They're at every game, which is major. So shout out to them because they're always supporting, which is huge. And then, yeah, so those are really the big draws. The weather's the same, you know, pretty much. So wasn't really a draw or a con. Me, so.
It's going to be wet, whatever you choose. Sadly, you know, that's
exactly
that's just the deal we've been given. But give us some of the main differences under Coach Ortega that's different to Coach Kramesh. You know, obviously great in their own rights, but very, very different coaches. So what have you been learning this season?
For sure, I think one similarity I will say is that they both have their moments of being very loud. That they like to do. But I will say Coach Miguel definitely is a bit more often than Kramesh ever was. But he means well, and he's super awesome. And I think we do a lot of individual work, which I did, like I said, a little bit of stuff with Kramesh, but it was mostly team stuff we were doing. Whereas with Miguel, he's really awesome. I'm doing individual workouts kind of with him, you know, 2, 3, 4 times a week. And he's just always pinpointing every little thing, you know, but I love it because he's really detail oriented and he's just like, just tweak this little thing and it's going to help this and this and this. And yeah, I just really appreciate that and how much he wants us to do well and how much he wants us to develop, you know, no matter where we're going to end up in our careers and everything like that. But I love it.
Well, let's just go off piece slightly. So you're talking about individuals, and we try to work really, really hard to give the fans, you know, a little bit of insight. And, you know, being a pro player myself and stuff like that, you get to the summers and the pre-seasons and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and that you can only ever like improve on little bits and pieces. You know, you can never go away mm-hmm. and be like, okay, I want to add this, this, and this. It's usually just one little piece. What's something that you've wanted to work really hard on, and something that Coach Ortega has seen in you as well that he wants to add to your game to take you to the next level?
Yeah, I think up until this year, I primarily have played the five position. And so I was very confident in my back-to-basket, but as soon as it was face-up, I was not confident at all. My dribbling has never been my strong suit. And so from day one, you know, we were working on my my ball handling skills and my drives and window attack and shot fakes and just all those, like you said, all those little pieces, putting them together. So now I'm definitely a lot more confident when it comes to attacking the rim or just taking somebody on one-on-one or anything that involves dribbling. I feel much, much better about doing.
Love that. Well, look, we briefly touched on EuroCup and, you know, but it's a huge thing. You know, how was that experience, you know, for you this season? Obviously, that's, you know, a next step for you. So it must have been an incredible experience. But for the fans, just kind of share what it was like and, you know, give us a little bit of insight. You know, was it tiring, you know, having to try and take on both, et cetera, et cetera?
Absolutely. Yeah, it was amazing. It is such a cool experience getting to play, you know, obviously all those different places that we were able to go. It was very similar to me for like to GB, like getting to go and travel to all these countries and play there, which was super cool. But yeah, definitely tiring. But we even had 2 games less in our schedule because we were supposed to play a team from Israel, obviously, and that did not end up happening. So I can only imagine what those 2 extra games would have felt like in that schedule. But it's also a lot of fun, and I think it helps break the weeks up a bit, you know, especially in that very beginning of season. We were able to just kind of, if something went wrong, we were able to just quickly focus right onto the next because we only have 2, maybe 3 days if we're lucky before the next game. So kept us very busy for sure, but totally worth it. And I absolutely would love to do it again.
What was the main difference for you in the 2 competitions? You know, obviously you've had a lot of experience with the WBBL from last year, so you know that very, very well. Or was there a difference? You know, what was the main difference playing EuroCup?
Yeah, I think the physicality is definitely a big difference. I think the European game is a lot more physical and not in the sense of just like, you know, beating everybody up, but you do get to be more physical, especially as post player. You know, it's not super, not every game in the WBBL is like that, but some of them can be just a little bit ticky-tacky and you can't really get a flow of things because the game's stopping, you know, every other play. Whereas I didn't feel that as much in European play. And I would definitely say it's also a bit quicker, which, I mean, that's our style of play, obviously, at Caledonia, as we just like to run. So I felt like there was a lot more teams like that in EuroCup as well, but that just made the game so much more exciting because it's just, you know, we're pretty much a track race and we're just seeing who can actually finish and put the ball in the bucket at the end of it.
Oh, love it. Well, you know, let's kind of widen the scope a little bit and look at the women's game as a worldwide game. We've had a huge week or a couple of weeks for women's basketball. You know, it starts with Caitlin Clark breaking the NCAA scoring record. You know, love their comments as well where, you know, did you expect me not to break it by shooting from the logo, which was incredibly confident. And then you've got Sabrina versus Steph in the shootout of the All-Star game, which I felt, you know, really brought some awareness to the women's game once again. You know, what are you excited about as a player as you see the rapid growth of the women's game currently?
I think the biggest thing that I'm excited about is just the recognition that the women's sports are getting now and showing that, you know, we can compete at such high levels and break records and, you know, do all these things that sometimes people don't think women, I feel like, are capable of. And I think they're just kind of breaking through all those ceilings and, you know, like just setting those new standards for people, but also showing younger girls, younger boys, you know, anybody that you can do anything really that you want to do. And as long as you put the work in and, you know, obviously, especially Caitlin and Sabrina have put in so much work behind the scenes and to get to where they are. And I think it's just a great example that they're setting for everybody.
Yeah. And I mean, just the fact as well, like the one thing that I look at is, you know, Sabrina having the signature shoes and where you see the impact is that you have men's really wanting to wear Sabrina's shoes. You know, I was talking about it this morning with a couple of my coaches in the office here and I was like, I want a pair for sure, you know? So it's definitely having that impact. But what do you think still needs to improve in your eyes?
That's a good question. I think, well, one of the things I noticed, and I think a lot of people noticed it, there's a lot of commentary on Twitter about it especially, but the two men who were commentating for the Sabrina and Steph shootout, a lot of the comments that were being made were a bit dismissive towards Sabrina. So I think it's just like that. If you're going to be commentating or representing at these events, like really being that respectful just to both sides, you know, and know that they've obviously both earned where they are. So knowing that, yeah, maybe she's using a smaller ball, but she is shooting from the NBA 3-point line, kind of stuff. And she still scored, you know, the same as the winning score in the 3-point contest in the NBA. So, yeah, just a little bit, I think the respect, is really the big thing. Now we're getting that recognition, but just making sure everybody's on that same respect level as well.
Yeah, for sure. And the shoot remark and stuff like that, like, it couldn't be more true. So, you know, hopefully we can just clean that up. I was kind of surprised, really, that they wouldn't have had somebody that maybe knew her game as well as everybody knowing Steph's game would have been in the commentary. But, you know, things that we've got to improve on. Look, before I let you go, you know, I need Kirsty, the salesperson, right here. So you have an audience of fans. You know, that might not watch both the BBL and the WBBL. So, you know, give them your reason as they're driving to work or making their coffee or whatever. You know, why should they start watching the women's game either, also, or just replace the BBL? You know, just forget that. Watch the WBBL. I'll add my opinions at the end as well, because I love the women's game. But what? Give me your sales pitch.
I think women's basketball is just so exciting. I think it's quick paced, especially in the WBBL. We have so many skilled players. We have girls who are out here. You know, we were hitting a buzzer beater three at the half to go up one, you know, make the game super exciting. And there's just so many exciting games, so many great players to come out and watch. And I think, you know, if you enjoy sports in general, women's basketball is definitely the place to be. It's constantly growing and it just keeps getting better. So join now, you know, don't be a bandwagon later. Join now while it's getting big.
Well, you've heard it here first. Kirsty's career after basketball is certainly going to be in marketing somewhere, but that was incredible. I mean, my opinion, obviously coaching in the WBBL as well. So I've coached in both. I've coached in the BBL and WBBL. What I love about the women's game is I think it is just a little bit more intricate as well. So if you're a bit of a basketball geek in terms of sets and what we do defensively and how they play and stuff like that, there's still like that system that I still love about basketball, you know. So sometimes what you tend to see, I think, in the British Basketball League is somebody just kind of takes over the game and it wasn't necessarily by design. You know, that can frustrate me at times, whereas I want to see, you know, I want to see what they're bringing out on the floor, and I can see what your sets are and what you're trying to run. And you certainly get that in Caledonia with Coach Ortega. But we really appreciate your time. You know, surprised to see such a great salesperson there as we come to the end, but we want to give as much shine to the women's game as we possibly can. So it's always good to check in with the stars. You know, we got international breaks coming up, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, we hope, more people give, the women's game a chance, and, the best of luck for the rest of the season as, the race to catch the Lions. What do you think? You're going to get them?
I think this is the year. I feel good.
Well, we end with that confidence. And thanks for your time, KB. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, shout out to KB for jumping in. Every time I see her, it's always love. Sure hate I missed that one, man. But great job on that, Jay.
Yeah, I always miss it when, you know, we don't have the dream team in the room. But yeah, KB is very, very cool. And it's great to have that conversation. Like I said, the last couple of weeks has been huge for the women's game. It's just growing all the time. So it was great to get Kirsty's perspective, and you know, good luck on the rest of the season as they try and catch those Lions.
Absolutely. Well, let's move things to Hot Topic, which is sponsored by SoFab Sports. A lot of things on the menu, but Jay, I got to start with you personally, because something you mentioned on the last episode that I didn't catch in the real time, I actually didn't catch into the clips, because had I caught it in real time, I would have called you out on it, on a little term that you use, and now everybody's holding it against you in regards to the Surrey Scorchers. And it's actually nice for me to get a break from all the gun, the shots fired for once, and they're coming at you. But basically, you said that everyone has been awful, which was a strong use of words. So I'm going to give you the floor because I understand that Twitter isn't always the right platform to explain yourself. So the floor is yours, my guy.
Well, first of all, you know, something you've been like plaguing me to get back to doing, something that Josh was getting at me as well. Just a little thing for you guys. I'm back on the Twitter. Okay. I'm just going to go strong there, but, we'll relive it a little bit. And hopefully Rob doesn't hold it against me because it's all love. We had a conversation last night and, I want to start with saying, with these conversations, the reason why they're so great and what people have to remember is it's just my perspective, right? And then the beauty is when you come into those conversations, it's your perspective. And people spend an awful lot of time trying to change my perspective instead of just share their own, which I think is what Rob did, you know, like Rob started to share his opinions. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to look at this a little bit and I'm going to sit either side of the fence. So I'll give kudos where there's kudos deserved and I will defend what has been a small comment that's turned into a rather big comment of awful. So I'm going to do both at the same time. So I've been doing a little bit of research. Okay. I've been doing my JJ Redick.
Okay. So, Dave Forrester. Here we go. You know, let's go, baby.
I know. Hopefully a younger looking version of Dave. So last season, great point by Rob is, you know, he said they have improved. You know, there's been improvements that they've seen. Last season, they were 4-32. Okay. So of course, looking at their record now, they have improved, you know. So if you look at it, you know, cold hard facts, they've improved. I said it on the Twitter as well with Lloyd and Dan in the building, working on that franchise, things are going to improve and they're going to get better. Where I'm looking at it from is that there's no good in just being the best whipping boys, you know? So whether you finish bottom or whether you finish just above Giants and Plymouth, that for me is not the progression that I think that you make with the names that you brought in. You bring in a great coach, you bring in a great GM. That's not what I think, you know, that's not what I think is the end game for this franchise. I think they want to make drastic improvements. Where I started to sit with in terms of my comments about awful is that if you have a look at the wins, okay, so I do need to get back in my box a little bit because they did catch the Newcastle Eagles, which you could classify as of right now as a quality win. I will preface that by saying two things. I will say at the time that they lost that game, Newcastle were in a real struggle phase, whether that was they were getting used to Europe or whatever it was, their form was not particularly good at that time. And also it was followed up right after that game with a loss to the Manchester Giants, okay, for the Surrey Scorchers. So I'm looking at their wins. So outside of the Giants and Patriots, which you would presume is should be wins, those are things on their calendar where they're saying we need to beat these teams if we want to take the next step. They have beaten the Flyers. Last 10 games, they are currently 3-7, okay? They are in free fall. My opinion of why they're in free fall is because their squad is not big enough to handle the European campaign and the British basketball campaign. So Flyers fans, I am not calling you awful. I'm saying your form is awful right now. Okay. But there's a reason for it. You then look down and they get the Sharks. Okay. Sheffield Sharks in the last 10 games are currently 2-8. Okay. Their form is currently awful and they're trying to address those situations. But those are games that you would expect to win. I did see on Twitter that the trophy got involved, okay? So in terms of the trophy wins and their form, they went 2-0 out of the gates in the trophy, okay? They should have, by rights, all they had to do was win another game to make sure that they got through. And it was kindly pointed out by Rob that did I expect them to beat Caledonia or beat Cheshire Phoenix? And the answer to that question is yes. That's what you have to do to progress in these competitions. And these are going to be the teams you face in the playoffs. So if you are going to jump from 8th to 6th, you're going to see London, Caledonia, or Cheshire Phoenix. So if you want to progress in the playoffs, you have to make sure that you would be able to go toe-to-toe and get wins against those groups. They didn't. Their form fell off rather drastically in the trophy, and they didn't manage to progress.
And just to piggyback off of that point, Jay, is that one of those games were at home, and you got to close the deal. But the bottom line is they lost both of those games by a combined 67 points or something crazy like that. So it'd be a different story if these were two games that came down to the last couple minutes, but these were straight out ass whoopings. So
yeah. So, you know, I put down all the analytics. So that's why I come to the point of go back to your question. You know, that's what I kept saying to people on Twitter. I was just asked the question, am I a believer in that Surrey Scorchers can make a run for the playoffs, you know? And my thing is, no, I'm not a believer in that situation. And we both said it last week. We said, this is how you're going to make us a believer, okay? You're going to go to Caledonia and people are going to call me out and say, that's a tough place to go and get a win. But you've just had your starting point guard is gone probably for the season. You got Patrick Whelan sat down injured. You've got a new point guard, albeit we'll probably talk about him later, looks a phenomenal player and looks to perhaps be able to change the way that Caledonia play, perhaps. But that was his first game, his debut game, which everybody knows as an American coming into this league, you have to adjust to a lot of things, physicality, the refereeing, et cetera, et cetera. So that is a game that you would be expected to go and get. So, you know, for me, I'm not trying to upset the fans. I'm not trying to upset players or staff, but there needs to be a little bit more aim here, right? With the names that we're talking about that are there, with the names of players that are there, you're talking, you know, Justin Robinson, former MVP, Andrew Lawrence, incredible player and probably would have defined our league even more had injuries not bitten him in the backside, you know? Josh Steele, you know, great names. You know, I know we make a big deal in terms of comms about Paddy Atwang's athleticism, et cetera, et cetera. You know, you could go on. For me, I still think they're underachieving slightly. They're doing what they are supposed to do, which is beat those teams in and around them. And they do have an opportunity, which I would see as a success if they could move up to that sixth spot and go take advantage of two teams that have currently awful form.
Do you want to drop your mic?
No, I'm not going to drop my mic. One other thing as well is just as maybe a learning curve, as a player, if you're going to pop your head above the parapet and you're going to come out and be like, we see you, we hear you, and we've seen this mistake from London Lions as well, right? You just laid an egg in the final and you're saying that everybody, I can see everybody. Okay, well, they went to Caledonia, the game that you laid the gauntlet down and said, come at me, show me something. And it was a really poor performance, you know? It was... you know, a little bit lackluster. And then you come out with the fight on Twitter, you know, like, come on. And then I saw some of the tweets after that wasn't the game we needed. We needed the game before. So, okay. Like maybe they've done a deal with Manchester and Plymouth to the best of the bottom three. I don't know, but I would like to see them go for the sixth position, give the fans that they have unbelievable fans that have been unbelievably patient. Let's make a big move here and let's see us get to that sixth spot and then come at me on Twitter and let me be humble and have to apologize.
Yeah, just for a little bit of context for our fans out there, he's speaking on Saquon Jameson, who tweeted in reference to that tweet. And yeah, I'm with Jay on that, you know, there's a time and place and that's not the right time from Saquon, even though that's what he's supposed to say. But maybe you wait the next day, not shortly after you lost the game you should have won. And that's the thing where I lay with Surrey is that, and all you're setting, Jay, is a little bit of expectations and accountability, which that franchise should want and which that franchise needs at the moment. And so, at the end of the day, we've both come on here and said that we're Surrey fans, and for them to take that next step every time they've had the opportunity this year, and we say on the podcast, they win this game this weekend, we'll be on the bus, and every single time they drop the ball, they have not been able to stand up yet. But there's still time, like you said, I'm in agreement with you. I would even be satisfied with seventh. You know, there's a great opportunity at the moment with the Flyers and the way that the Sharks are playing And you got to be licking your chops and looking to take advantage of that and not being comfortable, because you got to play chess at the moment, because you know that eighth place is a death sentence. I mean, let's just call it what it is. And so, you know, even though Cheshire is nothing to be too shabby about, I would like my chances with Cheshire than I would with London, you know, at the end of the day, even though that might be a loss as well. But, you know,
I don't want either, Drew. So for the Scorchers fans, I'm with you guys. That's why I want to get you to sixth. Sixth gives you a chance. You can make some noise in the playoffs, guys. Let's go. Come on. Who's with me?
Sixth place. Let's go. But let's stop at Caledonia, because you mentioned a guy who that I got to see front and center, Quade Green, on Thursday night. And there were some glimpses in that game that I was thinking, like, man, if they had this guy during the European campaign, we would be looking at this team completely different, because you and I have been talking all season. There's just something missing with Caledonia. And what I think it was for me is that excitement factor. They just are who they are. They get it done. They're solid. And there's nothing wrong with that. But at the end of the day, every great team needs a little pizzazz as well. Look at Matt Morgan for the London Lions, and watching Quade Green, the way he play, how he can lead the troops, and how he can kind of those pocket passes, and the way he was feeding Ala Hodges, and the way he was feeding Clifton Moore Jr. reminded me of how Crandell used to feed Nelson Henry. And so he's going to make everybody's job so easier. And oh, by the way, he can score as well. 31 points against Cheshire. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, Gareth, like, I know you playing it by the book, but you don't have time for that. Give this guy the keys immediately. What are we waiting for? But what's your thoughts on Quade, and what do you think the Gladiators ceiling are now with him?
Well, I'm really glad you brought up the excitement factor, because that was my determining factor. I was having a conversation yesterday, so watched the game yesterday. You know, and again, you know, hats off to Cheshire. I mean, they're playing so good. They are the real deal. You know, and they're not going away anytime soon, and their competitive nature is unbelievable. So this is a tough game for Caledonia. But I just said, like, what do I not enjoy about them this year? Because, like, I seem down on them, but I look at it and I'm like, should I be? You know, they're right there. You know, is anyone going to win the league over London? No. All we can do is just hold it off a little bit and be a little cheeky online. I saw you, Cheshire. That was great. Yeah, good was. Fun. you know, but I find the way they play just a little bit boring. And hopefully that, you know, that's what that Quade Green brings, is just speeds him up just a little bit. Like you said, his delivery, his capacity for getting other players involved is great. And, you know, absolutely, you can see that he can score. He's a three-level scorer as well, which makes him really, really tough. He had that one little move to the bucket, the little flip that he had where he sort of changed his body. Beautiful. He had another little mid-range teardrop that I saw. And if anyone's, you know, ducking under any screens, he's going to try and knock that down. So, you know, it's definitely a great pickup. And I'll be interested to see, like, as they grow in healthy. But there's still just a little bit of something. Like yesterday, there's just something, you know. Ali Odzic getting involved in some things he didn't need to get involved in. And I don't know. There just doesn't seem something that's connecting to give them that next step.
I think this would be a huge learning experience for Gareth. I bet you next year he does things slightly different, because I asked him on the Eagles Sky game 2 weeks ago, like, what's the identity of this team? And he mentioned that he wanted this team to be organized. He didn't want them to be a typical British basketball team league, which is up and down, which we know. But you made a great point a couple of podcasts ago that, like, we always talk about this league becoming more European, but, like, what is that? I mean, because I had talked about how at the trophy finals, how Caledonia and London were more European, but the game was born in Leicester and Cheshire were more British basketball up and down, but it was more excitement. So I think it's about having a perfect balance about, and I use this with my teams all the time. I say, know when to go, know when to slow. Like, if the opportunity is there for you to get up and down, you know, play freely like the Newcastle Eagles, but then also have the ability to go using your term, deep into your sets when needed to. So I just think it's about having both, because at the end of the day, you need, I think our league will be built, always be built on that entertainment and excitement factor.
Yeah, for sure. But it goes a little bit deeper than that. Like, you know, I'm very geeky, so it isn't just about playing with pace. You know, it's sets and playing to your strengths and what you're trying to do. So when you talk about, you know, European, what is that? Like, what are they trying to achieve? Are they a shooting team? Are they going to put the ball into the post? Do they exclusively pay off the pick and roll? And like a lot of times, like when I'm watching them play, like it seems to get stagnant, you know? So there seems to be something happens and it just gets a little bit stagnant. And there's, you know, I want to see like what are they actually doing out there? Like what's their definition? I know that they run a load of Iverson or what I call Philly and different things like that that can really slow the game down. But it doesn't mean that that has to become boring, you know, like it should be leading to, are they a 3-point shooting team? Are they inside team? You know, Ali Odzic, I don't know if we've seen the best of him this year, you know, just in terms of he doesn't seem as much himself of poise inside. So like I'm watching a lot of position he gets and I'm like, oh, that's a guaranteed bucket. And he's rushing those finishes and seems a little bit frustrated, right? He's kind of hitting out a little bit and seems a bit angry about something. I don't know what that is. You know, and Clifton's not a classic, you know, back to the basket player. In that regard as well, you know, he kind of lives in the William Lee spots. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see how it goes. But as Quade settles down, maybe that does just release things a little bit. You've always said that, you know, there's no doubt DeBose is an unbelievable player, but he wasn't a wholehearted point guard. You know, he was kind of put in that position. So maybe with somebody coming in, that kind of unsticks the offense a little bit over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I just think basically it come down to, you say it gets stagnant. They just never had that end of the shot clock guy on their team. And now you got it with Green. I just think you're going to see a huge difference with that team. And I just hate that. Just imagine, you know, a backcourt of Quade, DeBose, and Patrick Whelan. Like, that would be nasty with Bothwell coming off the bench. And so
I've liked Bothwell as well with Quade. Like, yeah, since yeah, Quade's yeah. come in, like it's kind of freed him up a little bit, and you've seen a little bit more of what I think you were looking for when we were doing the Teddy Bothwell bet, you know, like I'm seeing a little bit more of that in him.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, let's move on to the writers. Let's start with their game, which was eventful. We saw our guy Mike Tuck getting it on the dance cam. But then also we saw a cute moment in which the British Basketball League has reproduced. You can catch it on their socials, of a kid running on the floor. And, you know, I saw the comments and it's like, oh, it's so cute and all that. But I guess it's just me in my 40s and the kind of the old man got into me. And you know what it was, Jay? It was your point about the malice in Manchester, in regards to talk about that scuffle with Plymouth and Manchester, is just really stuck in my head, which was an excellent point, which makes me think that, yeah, it was a cute moment, but I started thinking bigger. I started thinking about the security issue at these arenas because, you know, we're getting bigger and bigger names in the league. Just imagine if somebody comes on the court and they trip up one of these guys, or just imagine someone comes and tackles one of the players. And so I'm looking at the bigger picture and, you know, the CEO or the league, I really think we need to double down on the security for next year, because as cute as that moment was, it just can't happen moving forward. I'm sorry.
Yeah, 100% agree with you, like on that point. And also as well, like, you know, imagine for a second that situation happened in a fast break. You know, and you've got somebody big and athletic. I'm trying to think, you know, if you've got like, you know, Teddy Buckets getting out on the break and the kid runs out in front of him, like, you know, bless him, he's going to get hurt, right? You know, so I think we'll probably get to the end of this season. And I think that people need to accept that things have changed maybe quicker than people imagined. You know, and I would suggest probably it comes from the league. So I'd imagine that the league are now going to ask everybody to make sure that they review their security viewings and make sure that those things are in place. And, you know, it's going to be tough on teams as they move forward, the ones that are trying to build finance within their club, you know, because again, if you've got to add security, and I know this better than anybody, obviously, you know, currently representing a football club as well as a basketball club, just how expensive that security can be is quite significant into your budget if you've been relying on volunteers, or, you know, let's just say surviving with the minimum. You know, that can't happen anymore.
At the end of the day, Jay, standards cost. You know what I mean? Standards aren't free. And so, unfortunately, the way the league is moving and, you know, becoming more professionalized, the days of where teams had 50 volunteers, it's just we've moved away from that. And that was a great time for our league where, you know, the community got to be involved with their local basketball club. But sadly, we've moved past those times. And so, unfortunately, those are things we got to tidy up. And also, I mentioned on Twitter with the Leicester Riders, it only stood out. I mean, it's been bent for a while, but it only stood out to me for some reason for that game. But they got to get that fixed. Like, no longer are the days can we have the Everton bent rim. Like, it just is not a good look. So, little things like that, we got to tidy up. But let's stay with Leicester because – I talked about last episode how I felt like they were one of the teams in position to beat Cheshire. But then again, like we talked about, this season has been such a seesaw because every time you think a team ascends, they drop a game that you're just like, what? And I didn't get to watch this game. I just caught the score at the very end of them losing to Plymouth. And, you know, I think it's been – we mentioned it with TJ Atwood last week that Plymouth has been addition by subtraction. It seemed with – losing players, they've just been better and they've been more competitive. I've even seen Sam Decker tweet that Plymouth is much better than their record. And so, maybe the things that Atwood talked about on the show came to fruition about, you know, just those bonehead, dumb mistakes that they make, shot selection. But, you know, is this more about Plymouth or is this a bad loss with Leicester?
I think I agree with Sam, you know, that Plymouth are a lot better than their record suggests. I think we see what the problem is. You know, TJ outlined it to us. You've picked it up a few times with a lot of those bottom teams. So we've seen it with Plymouth. We've seen it with Manchester. We've seen it with Surrey. We're seeing it with Sheffield currently as well. Little bit with Bristol, similar problem. It's just that composure down the stretch. So the games this season, like, they've been really competitive and Plymouth have been right there with everybody. And in fact, I think if the one mistake that Leicester made in this game is you cannot let them get their tails up and get out and running. Like, when they're out and running and they're allowed to be expressive and they're allowed to be creative, they are so much better in those situations. Like, I feel... the players like your Wileys and Greens and stuff like that, you start dragging them into half court attrition, you know, Levi's the same and stuff like that. They don't really seem to have the same skill set to be able to open up, you know, those tight half court moments. And I think that's what the problem is when you're coming down to the stretch, that's what you get a lot of in these games, is because they're tight and they're close, it becomes a chess match. And the game starts to get slowed down. Both coaches are trying to, make sure that they're slowing down those fast breaks. It's not as free flowing. And it seemed very much that Leicester just couldn't turn the tap off with Plymouth. And when they're out and running, you know that Wileys and Greens and stuff like that, they're going to get their heads above the rim. They're going to go crashing. They're going to go get things going. So, you know, I think kudos to Plymouth. They've gone and got a quality win right there. You know, Leicester have been on the ascendancy for a while, had a good trophy run. You know, they've got a bona fide star in Teddy Buckets that had an amazing performance against Sheffield. There's no doubts that travel would play its part. You know, they've played a lot of games. They had to run out of steam at some point. But, you know, I just think Plymouth executed the game plan and they were able to keep being them in the fourth quarter. And I think that's going to be the key for them is, If they're not going to be able to execute down the stretch, then they've got to find ways to speed the game up and let their athleticism and skill, but also let's finish, you know, shout out to Faulkner. You know, it's, you never want to see a player go down and and be out for the season. And I don't know what that means for them in terms of, you know, whether there's some help on the way or they're kind of stuck at this point of the season. But, you know, quality win for them. And, you know, riders would be disappointed, but, you know, it happens, doesn't it? But what about that record? I played a part in that record. You know, as a coach, the one person I could never get, I got Fab, but I could never get Rob. And that just sticks with me even now. I could never get Rob. And I had him a couple of times. I felt like I had him in the box and he just found a way out and he just walks up. He does that strut, shakes your hand firm, you know, and he just, you know, better luck next time, Rook, you know, like I could just never get him. But great record to smash for them down in Plymouth.
Yeah, I think I tweeted it or something. It was 137 months or something ridiculous like that. Like 2012 since the last time they beat them. That would have been around the time that I was there. And I remember that time because it was Cousinard and it was our boy at Worthing.
Taylor.
Zaire Taylor. So yeah, a very long time ago. But yeah, as you mentioned with Plymouth, that's a great win. I don't think Plymouth would be in a position to bring in another player at this time for what you might as well just keep your coins for next season. But I'll just finish by saying this. Everybody's kind of down and that London's about to win the league. But for me, the league is just getting started. That's irrelevant to me because you're about to see like the real hoopers and the real teams. Because as you mentioned, things are going to slow down a little bit. So we're going to get to see like who are Newcastle, because everything isn't going to be a fast break-a-thon as we get down here to the meat and potatoes of the season, this final stretch. So looking forward to it.
For sure. Can I throw a quick question at you whilst I think about it? Because, you know, obviously you would have watched the Leicester-Sheffield game. Like, what is it about Sheffield right now that they just can't get themselves going? Because I was watching that game. Looked like they kind of added a bit of pace to their game, got out and running and got their tails up. But to me, it looks like they're really falling in love with that mid-range or the awful 19-foot jump shot that just eventually, like analytically, just catches you up. And I was trying to think to myself, I was like, is it because Atiba's not moving with the times? But we can't say that, you know, because you look back in the times when he had like the Ryan Pattons of this world and the D'Agostinos of this world and stuff like that. He knows how to stretch the floor. So what is the problem in Sheffield right now, do you think? Because the roster definitely should not show you the last 10 games 2-8.
You know what? I haven't really watched them in really great depth. Like there's some games that I watch while multitasking and I don't get to. There's probably only about like three games I get to watch with a close eye every dribble every week. But a lot of other the games, like I got an eye on there and I'm doing other stuff and watching. And so like for Sheffield, I haven't caught a close eye on them for a while now. But what I'm going to do during this break is I'm going to go watch them because I need to see. They got a new player in, and so I need to see what the issue is. But, you know, on the surface level of it, I would just say that, you know, when you only take 12, 13 threes a game, only attempting, you're only making three or four, the numbers are going to push you out. I mean, you know, no matter how efficient you are from the two-point line, just the evolution of the three ball makes it really tough to be a mid-range team, because if a team makes, you know, seven or eight threes and you make three, you know, that's the difference right there. That's a double digit difference. Yeah. And so, we'll come back to this because I need to go back and see them. I'm not sure, but maybe some fans will come on the socials and give us their thoughts. I'd love to hear it.
Yeah. I'd love to get everybody's opinion. Yeah. I'd love to hear what it is. Cause watching them, they were going toe to toe with Leicester, but I just thought to myself, man, these shots are not good quality shots. And like when they stop dropping, will they still be in the game? And that's exactly what happened. They kind of ran out of being able to knock down those shots they were taking, and Leicester just took advantage, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wish we can keep this going, but it's half term and my son is like, he's been for the last 15 minutes. Like,
you got to jump, my man. You got to jump. Well, let's just see it out. Finally, from me, it's give that player a nickname with Hooping and Looting. This week's pick, I'm going to go with the Caledonia Gladiators, Big KB, that we had in the house, Kirsty Brown. Let's get her a nickname. You know, I want to see how that goes. Want to see what Gladiator fans we got coming out of the woodwork. And that's it for me this week. It was great to talk about the growth of the women's game. Talk about me coming out of retirement in Twitter wearing number 4-5. You know, thank you as always for the support. If you think your brand would benefit with some love on the pod, drop in our DMs. Until then, Drew, lead us out.
Yes. Hopefully everyone enjoys the break. It's international break, so no games this weekend. It'll be Team GB at Virtue Motors Arena against the Netherlands. And so let's hit the reset button. Let's gas up because we got a hell of a final stretch coming. So thank you, as always, every week for tuning in, joining us on the socials. But until then, we'll catch you guys, as always, on the Drew and Jay pod. Have a great week, everybody. Peace out.